Hello everyone, I hope you can hear me well. And today, Paolo is here to talk about the present. I will prefer to give you some insight on what we are doing to drive our golden future. First, we are still dealing with a world affected by COVID. Indeed, in these weeks, we are seeing a new wave coming in Europe and Asia. However, we were able to deliver strong results, achieving a growth of plus 40% versus last year, while keeping investing to support our future growth. On the second, indeed, is 2021, we increased our efforts in marketing initiatives, consistently to a long-term plan to elevate Golden into a global brand. We will follow a differentiated approach across the market. It will take into consideration peculiarities of the different markets, therefore a global strategy to be delivered with a local approach. Then, we keep on opening stores. We open another 20 stores, of which half in the U.S., plus a takeover of 11 stores from our former Chinese partner. So we are sticking to our expansion plan. But this is not only a pure expansion story. We are doubling down our effort in the organic growth. How? We are evolving our retail experience, putting customers' engagement at the epicenter of our focus. The new store in Milan is a shining example of this strategy. In this context, we are investing in the co-creation initiatives. They are working very well because customers are thrilled by the opportunity to make their own story with us. And we see strong results in terms of customer engagement. And customers today for a brand is everything. Besides, we are continuously improving our digital offer, giving to our customers the possibility to have a smooth and pleasing omnichannel experience. Then, of course, we are finalizing a compelling ESG strategy consistent with the Golden Goose DNA. It will be a fascinating journey with a tangible impact for our world. So no one of the usual agenda, something tangible for the brand and for the people together with the brand. And it is already driving all strategic decisions here in Golden Goose. At the end, we maintain high focus on our distribution strategy. We moved our top three wholesale customers to a wholesale model, which allows us to maximize revenues and have a tighter control on pricing. In this way, the relationships with our former wholesalers became a truly partnership, whereby we have the possibility to invest more and better to offer a more valuable experience to our final customers. Now I please Paolo to go ahead. Thank you for everyone.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for the introduction, Silvio. I will jump directly to page 4, looking at the key figures of these first 9 months. This page shows the summary of what we achieved this year, a 22% turnover growth in Q3, equal to a 40% on a year-to-date basis, a 37% turnover growth versus 2019 on a year-to-date basis. We increased by 60 basis points the EBITDA margin from first half to 9 months. We paid back the 25 outstanding million of revolving credit facility. We reduced our net leverage ratio from 5.9 to 4.9. And at the end, we produced 22 million of free cash flow, of which 11 in Q3. But let's see more in deep what happened, moving to page 5. Plus 40% is the growth in terms of revenues in the first 9 months, with a solid 22% growth in Q3. This thanks to an increase in retail traffic from quarter to quarter, mainly in US and EMEA, and thanks to a strong growth in digital session, conversion rate, and average order value in all geographies. 33.6% of EBITDA margin on a year-to-date basis. In absolute terms, the EBITDA of the first 9 months is above the EBITDA of the entire 2020. Also, the progression quarter by quarter is steady growing from 26 million of Q1 to 34 million of Q3. In terms of growth, Q3 is growing less than proportionally if compared with last year, but is only a matter of different cutoff period by quarter. In Q4, in effect, we will see the positive reverse. In terms of geography, 63% is the growth of US, that is confirmed to be the fast-growing region. More than 34 million versus last year, the major part of which is coming from a direct-to-consumer channel. Thanks to organic growth, driven by traffic and conversion increase, and to 16 new openings done in the last 12 months. 26% is the growth of EMEA, with a 22 million increase in absolute value. In this region, the growth is balanced between the three channels, with 11 million in wholesale, 8 million in retail, and 3 million in digital, confirming the importance of business to business that counts for 2/3 of the entire business of the region. Plus 40% is the growth of APAC, strongly above the previous year, even in Q3, with a plus 69%, but unfortunately below Q2, because of the lack of traffic in retail generated by local lockdowns and restrictions, such as in China, Korea, Japan, and Australia. Going deep into channels, perfectly in line with our expectation, DTC is growing by 68% on average, while wholesale is widely above last year and 2019. Let's see the dynamic more in detail. Plus 66% in retail, with a Q3 that's showing a 1.5 million growth as compared with Q2. The strong results in EMEA and US more than compensated the above-mentioned slowdown in APAC. On a year-on-year basis, we are growing by 42 million on total, thanks to 42 stores opened in the last 12 months, of which 11 taken over from the Chinese distributor, and thanks to a solid organic growth in all geographies led by US. 75% is the extraordinary growth of digital, with 5 million of increase from Q2 to Q3, and 15 million of growth in 9 months. Out of these 15 million, 10 are generated by organic growth, while 5 are related to e-concession conversion, from traditional B2B to concession. Thanks to this, the penetration of the channel is now at 13.13%, 200 basis points more than last year's same period. 18% is the growth of wholesale channel, notwithstanding 5 million of revenues from e-concession now booked under direct-to-consumer. In addition to this, the comparison with the Q3 2020 risks to be misleading, considering that last year we stopped any delivery in April and May, affecting the second quarter, while we pushed a lot of shipments in Q3, following the need of product of our partners. If you remember, in fact, in first half 2020, we got 24 million of orders. But our focus is not only the expansion, but also the profitability. As you know, growth, profitability, and cash generation are our three pillars. And here we go, with 65% of net margin, up 45% versus last year, with 34% of EBITDA margin, up 32%, and with 23% of EBIT margin, up 31% versus last year. EBITDA and EBIT are growing quarter by quarter, but we need to be careful when we compare with last year on a quarterly basis, because 2020 has been strongly affected by the impact of all the extraordinary situations we faced during the pandemic, such as closures, restrictions, cut of orders, benefits. What's important is that both EBITDA and EBIT margin are, as of today, above December last year, 34% of EBITDA margin versus 33%, and 23% of EBIT margin versus 20%. Strictly connected with revenue growth is the evolution of net working capital that for the second quarter in a row is stuck at 5% on total revenues. DSO on receivables fluctuates steadily between 60 and 70 days, with two-thirds of the credit backed by insurance. DPOs on product is stable at more than 200 days, while other suppliers are close to 90-120 days. The level of inventory is extremely low, being equal to 17% of the total turnover. For this reason, in order to sustain our future growth, mainly concentrated in direct-to-consumer channels, we are planning to progressively increase the level of stock starting from the end of Q1 2022. Capital expenditure is perfectly in line with our guidance to spend between 25 and 30 million in 2021. As of today, we spent 18 million equal to an 8% on an LTM basis. 11 million has been spent for retail, 4 million for digital transformation, and 2.4 for HQ facilities and other. We opened 31 stores in the first 9 months, of which 11 taking over from our distributor in China. We opened our new headquarters in Milan, and we kept investing in digital and technology to enable the business evolution. As you can see, if you look at the chart, on average our capital expenditure fluctuates between 7 and 10% on total turnover. Bottom line, we produced 22 million of free cash flow in 9 months, of which 11 during the first half and 11 in Q3. 72% is the cash conversion calculated on an LTM basis. The operating cash flow pre-IFRS 16, in other words, including rent payments, is equal to 46.5 million, of which 21 generated in Q3. Thanks to this performance, we paid back 25 million of RCF, that now is totally undrawn. Just to remember, the total amount of our undrawn RCF is equal to 75 million. 4.9 is our actual net leverage ratio, deleveraging from 5.9 in 9 months. Net debt post IFRS 16 is stable at 535 million, while the EBITDA increased from 88 to 110 million in 9 months on an LTM basis. Pre-IFRS 16 net debt, let me call it the pure net financial position, decreased from 435 to 414 million in 9 months, and we expect to keep the leverage also in Q4. Thank you. The presentation is over. Please, operator, we can start with the Q&A session.
Of course. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind, please press star followed by 2. For those of you who have joined us online, you can press the request to speak flag icon on your web browser. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star followed by 1 on your telephone keypad or the flag icon if you've joined online. Our first question comes from the line of Michael Chakarajidan from Franklin Templeton. Michael, please proceed.
Hi, thank you for the call. I had 3 questions. In the presentation on page 7, you talked about, on the wholesale business, you talked about the 3Q being impacted by deliveries. Could you give some more color on that and to what extent and what was the impact? The next question would be, for 3Q, your selling and distribution as well as your marketing on a relative basis increased quite a bit, and it's above your historical trend rate. Can you talk more about that? And then the third question is, You just made a comment on 4Q about leverage. Could you just expand on that? Thanks.
Okay, thanks for the question. Let me start answering to your first question. Wholesale deliveries are affected in Q3 in what sense? Last year is not a matter of deliveries this year, but is mostly something that happened last year. Because if you look at the chart, the split by quarter in terms of distribution of sales, last year we had in Q1 38 million, in Q2 15, and in Q3 48 million of sales. While this year we are more stable with 42 in Q1, 37 in Q2, and 39 in Q3. Last year, Q2 was strongly impacted by COVID, by the decision we took to reduce orders, cutting all half of the spring-summer season. And for this reason, this level of the level of inventory of our clients, fortunately, was very, very low. And starting from June, once the restriction went out, they asked for a lot of deliveries, and for this reason we shipped 48 million of revenues. Then the comparison quarter by quarter is very, very difficult to look at, and for this reason we mentioned this problem in terms of distribution, but it's not something that is affecting this year but last year. No, a normal year is more like 2021. Selling distribution increased, yes. We have also prepared in the presentation on page 19, also a restatement of our P&L by quarter, because in September this year, we are fine-tuning also the way we split our costs between selling and general administration expenses. Then one explanation, if you take the difference between the year-to-date result minus the first half we presented a couple of months ago, of course, is giving you a number that is even higher than what is if we restate also the former Qs. But anyway, is increasing because it was 25% in Q1 restated versus on sales, 25.4 in Q2 and 26.2 in Q3. The major part is related to commission on direct to consumer, on mainly in digital sales, because they are booming, and digital has a lot of variable costs that are booked under this line. And also, consider that out of these 26%, 8% is given by the D&A of the store, the depreciation amortization of the store. And this is the reason why you look at this increase. The major part of each is, let me say, related to volumes, mainly in direct to consumer, because also here we are including logistic costs. And can you repeat, sorry, the third question?
Yeah, the last
what
one.
Is you, the of
I didn't quite catch everything what you said on your prepared remarks. You said something about when you're talking about 4.9 tons of leverage from 3Q, and then you said something about 4Q. Could you say that, what you said again? And
Yeah. And I was just saying that we have a good expectation also for Q4 in terms of profitability. Then our expectation is to keep the leveraging, not for sure. If you look at the path of our deleveraging, starting from December to June, we deleveraged by 0.8. We need to say that the major part of it is after the closure of Q2, because it's calculated on LTM basis. Then on LTM basis, we excluded in June the Q2 of 2020 that was strongly affected by COVID. In Q3, we deleveraged about from 5.1 to 4.9. Our expectation is to keep in this path to deleverage also in Q4.
Got you. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
As a reminder, to ask any further questions, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. Or if you've joined us online, you can press the request to speak flag icon. Our next question comes from the line of Nicholas Remy from Assured Investment Management. Nicholas, please proceed. Hello, Nicholas. Your line is now open.
Hi. Hello. Just wanted to know if you are experiencing any supply chain issue in Q4.
Sorry, we couldn't hear your question.
Are you experiencing supply chain issue in Q4?
No. We are not facing any issue at the moment. Of course, there's some pressure in terms of cost, but no issue.
Okay, and
but we produced 100%. Sorry, please go ahead.
Yeah, you produce 100% in Italy. Last time in the Q2 presentation, you presented some year-to-date figures, like year-to-date performance in August. Can you provide any like current trading for November, for instance?
Well, our path of growth is, let me say, in line with what we realized in Q3. Then our expectation is to have a Q4 that in terms of revenues is at least equal to Q3.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Marco Gironi from T. Rowe Price. Marco, please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I just have a quick question, and it's about Asia. Could you just maybe comment a bit more on what you're seeing there in your Korean market and China, maybe some of your other bigger markets, and whether you're sort of given this prolonged delay in travel pickup, if there's any tweaks you're making to your distribution strategy or you know, how you're dealing with it, or are you just waiting for a return of normality? Thanks.
Hello, this is Silvio. Thank you for the question. Okay, first of all, the situation in Asia is quite similar for everyone, for all the brands. Everyone seeing a quite big decreasing in traffic in the last third and beginning of fourth quarter due to COVID. But on this side, I have to say that we were really quite in a better position than anyone else for two reasons. First, supply chain, as the other colleague was reminding, Golden Goose is supplying from Italy. So at least in terms of goods, we were able to do not overship to the countries. So we have been able to ship directly what it was needed in order to reallocate the merchandise to the areas that were now on fire, like Europe and America, that are sensitive, less impacted by COVID compared to Asia. Then there's another important thing related to Korea. Remember that our cost structure in Korea is variable, and that's very important because we can be affected momentaneously on the revenues, but we are not in terms of marginality, and that's very important. Then, related to Asia, related to China, the situation is temporarily a little bit slower, but we are very positive thinking about the Chinese New Year that will come now on the first quarter next year. We are preparing with our robust investments even in terms of marketing. We are very positive. So the on-running business is very good, profitable. So again, we see just as a temporary weakening of traffic, but the outlook is positive on our side.
Thank you.
We currently have no further questions, so I'll now hand back over to the management team for any closing remarks.
No remarks on our side.
Okay, this concludes today's call. Thank you for joining, and I hope you have a lovely rest of your day. You may now disconnect your lines.